sometimes the way we say and do things in the church may sound just a little strange. Like we're preparing for the coming of the Lord. Well, he came 2,000 years ago. Where have we been? And we kind of say, well, if he came 2,000 years ago, why do we go through this every year, this Advent time, which kind of is just like a little part of the Advent of the chosen people waiting for the coming of the Messiah? We say, why do we bother to go through this every year? If the Lord came, he's here. Sometimes in my own life, I can't seem to find him. And maybe I don't think he's around enough in my own life. But why? Why is that? And we, you know, if you listen to Augustine, if you listen to the Thompson who wrote The Hound of Heaven, they talk about all the time that we're looking for God, we're looking in the wrong places. And all that time, he is running, looking for us. And the problem is we put so many obstacles in the way that we can't see him. We don't recognize him. We can't find what we want. And so John the Baptist says, you know, you've got to get rid of, make the way of the Lord straight. Give him a chance. Allow him to somehow or another enter into your life. He is after you. He's pursuing you. And somehow or another, we kind of resist that. We have so many other things. Say like the celebration of Christmas. This time that we should be at least be devoting some time to allowing or looking out and removing these things that stand between us and this love of Christ, which is trying to reach out to us constantly. We busy ourselves with all kinds of other things. We put up beautiful decorations to get the spirit of the season, which is wonderful. We maybe go buy all kinds of gifts for people who are dear to us and important to us. That's wonderful. It's a good, a generous act of love for people. But sometimes we forget to pay attention to the one who has come to us because he loves us so much and wants us to be an intimate part of his life. We forget to take time for the Messiah, Emmanuel, the Son of God, who is in our midst and who frequently is kept out of our presence. So we look at our own lives sometimes and say, What are the things that maybe stand in the way of my relationship? What is causing me not to connect with my Lord? And frequently is we simply don't give him a chance. We don't give him any time. Maybe we rattle off a few prayers in our daytime, which is a good thing. But we don't give him time to really, where I sit down and try to listen and talk to my Lord. He wants that kind of intimacy with us. And so it means that sometimes we have to remove these obstacles. Our attachment to stuff like the electronic world, you know, we're so obsessed with that, with our cell phones, with our TVs, with all of these earplugs that, you know, I think it's people trying to block out the rest of the world sometimes. But we so occupy ourselves with those things, we waste more time. And yet when we say, well, I just didn't have time to pray today, but I spent 4 hours in front of the TV set, you kind of say, is this God really that important to you? Is the Lord really that important to you that you can't walk away from there for 15 minutes and be quiet in his presence and let him embrace you with his love so that you in turn embrace him? We become so attached to material things that it's the things that become important. And so we work ourselves to death trying to acquire more things that we have more than we know what to do with already. But it keeps us from spending any time or paying any attention to family or to our God. We have these attachments that become more important to us than anything else in the world. And so somehow or another, that excuses us, at least we think it does, from spending time with the one who loves us more than anything in the world. But you know, no one can force love on anybody else. No one can force that. As much as God pursues us because he loves us, he can't make us stop and accept him. That's something that only we can do. And that somewhere along the way in our lives, that we kind of look at what is going on with ourselves, with our peace of mind, with our happiness, with our preparation for our future, with whatever it may be, when that becomes important to us, then we also begin to say, well, I'm searching for my God, but maybe I'm searching in the wrong places. St. Augustine said he found that out. And all the time that he thought he was searching for God with pleasure, with intellectual pursuits, with all these other wonderful things in life, he said, I finally found out that I was searching in the wrong places. That all of the time, my God was pursuing me like the hound of heaven. Just think about that. When Adam and Eve got pitched out of paradise, God didn't just condemn them. I mean, they were going to suffer for their act, and we all have suffered as a consequence because we all have this inclination to sin. That's kind of the consequence of original sin. But even at that time when God said, you have to get out of here, he gave them a promise that one day he would provide salvation for them. And he does that all the time. And yet, how many times do we just have no time for that? We say, well, no, well, that's kind of naive, that's medieval, you just don't operate that way anymore. There's different ways of doing things now. But how can you say that there's a better way of doing something than having the God who made each and every one of us and everything around us, the entire universe, all of the stuff that he makes and sustains, how can we say that there is something better in this world than him pursuing us? And all he asks of us is, can you give me the time to at least turn around and talk to me and listen to me and to accept the love that I am offering to you? He's trying to tell us he can make a tremendous difference in our life, that he can make a tremendous difference in our world. Look what he came to do, to forgive the sins of all people, of all times. He came to do that because he loves us. It wasn't just an afterthought. It was all part of the divine plan somehow. That God, who figures out all of these things, he loves us so much that he pursues us. He's after us. And the season of Advent is a perfect time for us to stop all of the non-essential stuff and just say, if I'm going to connect with my Lord, if I'm ever going to feel his presence, I have to stop and say, yes, Lord, I will accept the love that you extend to me. I will respond to your love for me. When we do that, somehow or another, when we know we are loved, we respond in a different way to the beloved. And I think that would happen to all of us, is somehow or another, we were willing to accept what our God is offering to us. That's what eternity is going to be about. Don't I want to somehow or another have a taste of it before I find out what the full perfection of it is? And that's what this season of Advent is for. We know Christ came 2,000 years ago. We celebrate that. That is the love of God manifest, that he takes human form to show us just exactly how much he loves and cares for us. When he dumped us out of the Garden of Paradise, he didn't say, well, good luck. See how long you last. He didn't do that. He immediately starts his plan of pursuing us, rescuing us, saving us, and providing a place in his home for all of us. But he will not force that on us. Somewhere along the way, we have to individually, personally, and deep within our hearts, respond, yes, Lord, I will accept your love. I will try to live as you ask me to live. It may cost me something, but that's part of the reward. I will turn off my electronics. I will do whatever is necessary to be able to spend some time opening my heart and my life to you. See what a difference that will make in your life when we do come to the celebration of Christ's birth among us. Then we will truly have some concept of what this love of God really is all about. It's not just what we say, it's how it touches our lives. And when we know we are loved, then we can respond with love.